Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will send it out to all of you out there. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Another dominant performance from Aaron Sanchez. And this is what you want from Aaron Sanchez. I know that a lot of people are saying, well, how can you move him to the bullpen? How can you take him out of the rotation if he keeps pitching like this? It has nothing to do with his performance. And you want him to pitch as well as possible and be efficient and go deep in games on low pitch counts, which he did again today. But at some point in time, it's going to be, this is too much. And I don't understand why you would want him to start pitching poorly before that. It's not like guys show signs generally of tiring or getting weak before they get hurt. It's all about keeping Aaron Sanchez healthy, but as long as he's in the rotation, man, is he delivering. 4-2, the Blue Jays beat the Padres. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. First time the San Diego Padres have ever played in Toronto, and now every major league matchup is done. Every team has played every team in every city because of this game. And here in game number 100, this was the first time that the Blue Jays had their regular starting lineup. First time all season that the nine guys in this game all played together. Blue Jays improved to 56-44. They're 2.5 games back in the AL East. It could be 2 if the Colorado Rockies can pick up a win in Baltimore. Right now they're tied 2-2 as they play in the bottom of the ninth inning. We'll take your phone calls. We'll hear from John Gibbons. All kinds of fun stuff as we Blue Jays talk it up. And we start with Phil in Bradford. Hello, Phil.
How's it going, Mike?
It's going well, thank you.
It was a good game today again. Great game by Sanchez again. And got to see a little treat there by the Padres. That was a huge home run. Like, that was probably one of the biggest bombs I've ever seen in that stadium. We got to start it off by Sanchez again. I know you have your mindset that he's going to the bullpen. We've been talking about it for weeks. But you know what? This is probably like the most debated topic right now in Canadian sports, and even the Americans are getting at it. We have to keep Sanchez in there. I don't like how Stroman is pitching. He's inconsistent right now. And
Stroman's been phenomenal five of his last six starts.
Well, okay, I hear you, but
he had a bad month.
There's a tendency there. It's a bad time to have a bad month when we're thick in a race right now.
And yeah, this bad month's over.
And
the Blue Jays gained a bunch of ground on the Orioles and Red Sox while Stroman was having his bad month.
I hear you.
But look, regardless, you're not thrilled by what Marcus Stroman did in June. The Blue Jays still have the best starting rotation in the league by many, many categories. So, you know, the other four guys besides Sanchez are all doing really well.
Okay.
Sanchez may be doing the best, but the other four guys are all doing really well.
Well, how do we sit a guy that is 11-1? I know he's max innings. He's getting there. But this guy is on fire. And
yeah.
You got the Houston Astros that are a half game back on us right now because they're probably going to win tonight. And, you know, we're going to douse that fire a little bit if we put Sanchez there. And we don't know how the team's going to react on that. These guys rally against with Sanchez. And I don't see it like with the other pitchers. Like, you know, Stroman has like a bad game here and there. You don't see the team rally as much as with Sanchez. And, you know, it's one of the most debated topics. I hear you. Like, it could go either way. And I do see him going to the bullpen. But when are you going to throw? That could cost you the season. And, you know, as a Blue Jays fan, you know, we missed the playoffs. Last year we finally got in. But we have the fan base now. Why are we going for the win? You know, do we gamble here? Do we not gamble? You know, sports is a gamble in itself. You know, I believe we need to keep this guy in here or we might not make the playoffs. And I'm not being a downer here. But
no, you might be right. I mean, you might be right. If Sanchez isn't in the rotation, the Blue Jays might not make the playoffs. I happen to think they will and with plenty of room to spare. because they're, I believe, much better than Boston and Baltimore. And over the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months, where they've gained so much ground and continue to play very well, I don't think there's going to be a problem. But look, the question is, you gamble with a guy's health, and you gamble with his future, and I think that's kind of irresponsible.
But you see the Mets do it with Syndergaard. Yes, it cost them. You know, he got hurt. But I want to win, and I'm sure the guys on the field want to win.
I'm sure they do,
the
too. But, you know, look, remember, years ago, there was a study done of Olympic athletes that I think it was something like, if we could give you a pill that would make you a gold medalist but you would die in 5 years, would you take it? Or it would take 20 years off your life or something like that. Would you take it? And it was overwhelmingly yes. These guys want to win way more than you want to win, and to the extent that they probably don't care about their health. But it's irresponsible to say, you know what, want to win this year. Aaron Sanchez gives us the best chance to win this year. We are going to sacrifice Aaron Sanchez and the 4 more years that the Blue Jays have him, and, you know, potentially, and I'm not saying that if he stays in the rotation, his elbow is going to explode. Obviously, nobody knows whether or not that's going to happen. But we do know that the risk increases dramatically of him having a catastrophic arm injury if he stays in the rotation the rest of this season. And I don't think that that's a reasonable gamble to take.
I just don't like the psychology, putting a sports psychology on the team, on Sanchez. No, you put him in the bullpen, and he's got an 11-1 start right now. This is the best he's ever been pitching.
Yeah.
What does that do to his psychology of, you know, he thinks he's ready. You see it today. Like, today, his strike zone was that fastball. Good luck hitting that. You know, he had 7 strikeouts, and he's a contact hitter. And, you know, he's pounding the strike zone, and it's deep in the season now. So, you know, I'm telling you, he's trying to show us that, you know, give me this chance.
But
you know,
none of that matters.
I want to take you guys to that playoff.
None of that matters. And I know it's very hard, not just for you, but for a lot of people to wrap your head around. None of that matters. What matters is Aaron Sanchez has never thrown more than 130 innings in his life until today. He went over his career high today. And if he stays in the rotation for the rest of the year and the playoffs and throws another 70 innings, his arm's going to explode. Maybe not this year, maybe not early next year, his arm's going to explode. And nobody wants that to happen.
Thanks for the call, and I know you're going to get a lot of these calls because, you know,
yeah,
it's the most debated topic right now, but I might as well start it now. So go Blue Jays, and, you know, I want to see us in the playoffs again because, you know what, we are the best team. I see it, you know, and now with Jose Bautista back, and he's, you know, first game back, he had his little walk there and, you know, sparked the team. But once he starts getting going, you know, you're not going to be able to pitch around, you know, you're not going to be pitching around Donaldson or Encarnacion. You got Tulowitzki, who, you know, people were hating on this guy when he came in here. But this guy's looking like an all-star again. Look at that throw he made on that one play there to get that guy out. And you got Russell Martin, who, you know, if he stays away from the sun, he's a good contact hitter too. So we got the best hitting, you know, we do got the best pitching, you know, Stroman, I know he's a very good pitcher. I don't think he's our ace. You know, he had a very good comeback year last year, but, you know, it's the same thing with Stroman. You know, he's almost like Sanchez. Like, he's a young guy, and we're pushing his strikes.
It's not the same thing at all. I'm going to let you go. No one's talking about this except that I'm talking about it every single time Aaron Sanchez starts because someone calls and says, why aren't we talking about this? I wrote 2 columns on the weekend for Sportsnet talking all about Sanchez, Stroman, all this stuff. A frequently asked questions column. You should really check it out. We're not talking about it for Marcus Stroman because Marcus Stroman's career high in innings pitch is 167. So there's no issue with Stroman going to 200 and a little bit farther this year. Aaron Sanchez's career high in innings pitched is 132 and a third, which is where he is at right now because he surpassed his career high with his 7 innings tonight. Troy's in Cheltenham. Troy, you're up next. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I hate to beat a horse dead.
We're going to be doing all night tonight. Don't worry about it.
Well, maybe I'm putting a different spin on it. First, I got to say, man, I got faith in Stroman. I think he's getting a hard knock from a lot of fans.
Yeah,
and,
no reason not to have faith in Stroman.
No, he's an excellent pitcher, and I think we have to kind of look on the positive side of him. You said it, just because the guy had a bad month, all of a sudden we're throwing him under the bus. A little ridiculous, eh?
That's what people do.
Well, that sort of frustrates me a little bit. As for Sanchez, my logic on that is I think we have a good starting rotation. He's an excellent pitcher, and he's an excellent guy in the bullpen. Like, I wouldn't mind having him in the bullpen, so what's the big deal?
Yeah, Aaron Sanchez has transitioned to the bullpen, not just successfully, but incredibly well each of the last two seasons. So any concerns about how he's going to handle him, he's not going to be happy. But he understands. It's not like this is coming out of the blue. He knows it's coming, as much as he may not want to believe it. He knows it's coming. So he's going to be disappointed, but he'll go out there and he'll dominate out of the bullpen, just like he did last year and just like he did the year before.
I believe that, and we need him in the bullpen. So just because he's coming out of the, that rotation, putting him in the bullpen, I think it's a good thing. And let's have some faith in our starting rotation. I think you had some stats on that. Like, they're amazing. One of the best in baseball, right? So,
yep.
Anyway, have a good night, Mike, and I hope that horse doesn't come back to life, eh?
Thanks. I'm sure it will. I appreciate it, Troy. And I want to just be clear about that study of Olympic athletes that I talked about. A friend of mine just texted me, and she said that the actual study said that the pill guaranteed a gold medal but certain death in 10 years or less, and it was over 80% yes from Olympic athletes. So these guys play with zero regard to their health and well-being, which is kind of what you want out there, because they say, if you're playing carefully, that's when you get hurt. But it's the team's job to protect them. And it is amazing that so many people out there seem so okay with, well, you know what, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Well, if he has to have surgery and miss a year and a half of his career, no problem. Now, if there was a guarantee that if Aaron Sanchez stayed in the rotation, that A, he would stay healthy for the rest of this year, and two, the Blue Jays would win the World Series, then I would say, you know what? Fine. Sacrifice the year and a half of Aaron Sanchez. Flags fly forever. He would be forever part of a World Series champion. And hopefully the surgery goes well. But I don't know how people can be so cavalier about, you know what, you have to cut the guy open, you cut the guy open, no big deal. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take more of your phone calls soon. Blue Jays double up on the Padres 4-2. Let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's Jays win.
John, Aaron Sanchez is certainly making it more and more difficult when it comes to a decision of moving him to the bullpen or not for you, isn't he?
Well, I'm not talking about that anymore, so if it happens, you'll know about it. If not, quit asking. I've only answered that, how many times, Jay? 5,000 times? Won't do it anymore.
Well, then how about just how he looked tonight?
Fantastic. I think he's been, he's having some kind of year. He's... he's put himself in the elite class in baseball at a young age, very little experience. Even tonight, he didn't give up many hits. He gave up those little infield bleeders. I mean, he's got such good, great life on his fastball. It's tough to square him up, and he threw enough curveballs over to keep everybody honest, and even some good changeups. So he's really coming into his own. Really, I think just scratching the surface. Like I said, no more. Ask somebody else.
He's shown the ability to be very consistent throughout the season and going deep into games. How refreshing is it to know that you pretty much know what you're getting from Sanchez every time he starts?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big, big part of it. It's 7 innings, 8 innings. I mean, it's really nothing for him. He's been doing it all year long, really that's ideal for a starter. It does a lot of things. It helps save your bullpen on any given night, if they've been worked hard. If not, you just narrow it down to your late inning guys. So But when you watch him, you know, even he's starting to get up there in pitches. I mean, he really doesn't lose much on the ball, you know. But when sometimes guys lose velocity, it makes a huge difference. When he loses velocity, he still has such great movement. You know, he's still tough, like I said earlier, square up.
Do you see a bit less effort in his delivery to get the velocity up there and maintain it this year in comparison to last year?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's always come out of it. He's always done everything pretty easy. You know, I mean, he's a big, strong kid, but, you know, I think he's growing into his body. He's bigger and stronger, and, you know, I know he did a nice weight program in the off season, but he's also turned into a man, you know, naturally. So, you know, confidence right now is through the roof. You know, anytime you start out in the big leagues, you battle that. But he does it pretty easy, I know that.
John, we talked pregame about the Padres, them being the last interleague team to go on the road since it all began in 1997 and your stint with the Padres. Can you just talk about, you know, getting the win under an unfamiliar opponent late in July?
Yeah, I mean, any, you know, wins are all big. It's, you know, it's tough to get a win in the big leagues. It really is. And, you know, they've been playing some good ball. You know, I spent that year in their organization and loved everything about it and the people that are running. I mean, some new faces now, but there's still a lot of people over there that I'm very fond of, you know. So, but, yeah, it's never easy playing teams that you don't know a whole lot about. It's always nice to get a win. I thought Ray, pitched a great ball game, too. He was sticking it pretty good. We didn't score a lot. We scored enough, and then, you know, then Sanchez, you shut them down. So, but he pitched a great ball game too.
On Jose's first game in nearly 6 weeks, what's your takeaway from how he looked tonight?
Yeah, I thought he looked good. You know, he did end up barreling that one ball, getting a hit late in the game, and I thought he was moving around pretty good in the outfield. So that's what we're looking for. You know, you never know what's going to happen with his timing and all that, because eventually that'll click in and he'll do his thing. But I didn't see him hobbling at all. I checked with him during the game. He said it felt great. You know, we were debating who to take out and put Carrera in late in the game, and he said, I'm good. So that's no insult to Saunders, but.
No, it's not. And Saunders has been defensively replaced for a long time with Ezekiel Carrera, and that's what Carrera's job is now that Jose Bautista's back. Carrera's a fourth outfielder again, which is a role that suits him very well. And he made the catch on that last fly ball of the game. The Blue Jays behind seven dominant innings from Aaron Sanchez beat the San Diego Padres 4-2. More of your phone calls coming up. When we come back, it is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is 1-2 pitch.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 1-2
pitch.
Swing and a miss on a fastball up in the zone. He struck him out.
Aaron's pitch.
Fastball, strike three called. Caught him looking up and in. He's still got that mojo here, even though his pitch counts at 93.
Aaron, a peek at second.
Strike two pitch. Looped into left field. There is Michael Saunders. He's under it. He has it. The inning is over. Sanchez with a great job. Seven scoreless innings, holds the Padres to three base hits, keeps his pitch count under 100.
Phenomenal job by Aaron Sanchez. Phenomenal, yet again. And the Blue Jays beat the San Diego Padres 4-2. Seven innings of three-hit shutout from Sanchez. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we're taking your calls. And a lot of people are hitting back at me on Twitter for this Aaron Sanchez stance. I'm not saying anything that's not true. I'm not guaranteeing that Sanchez's elbow will explode if he stays in the rotation. Nobody knows that. All I'm saying is that the risk is dramatically increased, which is true and proven, if he stays in the rotation all year. Just got a tweet that there was a University of Waterloo study that says gradually increasing the total numbers of innings pitched has no effect on young Major League Baseball pitchers' risk. I agree, 100%, but we're not talking about a gradual increase here. We're talking about moving from 130 to 210. That is not a gradual increase in innings pitched. That is a dramatic increase in innings pitched. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jared is in Toronto. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Mike. I kind of wanted to discuss a refreshing update in a sense. What are your thoughts on Melvin Upton Jr.?
I don't know how many thoughts I have on Melvin Upton Jr., to be honest.
Yeah, but Ken Rosenthal was just reporting that the Blue Jays are the front runner right now.
Yep, I saw that.
For them. Right now, him as a left fielder, he has 9 defensive runs saved as a left fielder in comparison to Michael Saunders, which has -6. I know it's kind of a meaningless stat in a sense.
I saw that tweet, too.
Taylor Steve, but what's your overall thoughts on possibly him joining the Jays? I know he has a high salary. $15 to $16 million, but yeah.
I mean, I think that the Padres will either pay down a large portion of that salary in order to get some talent back, or the Blue Jays won't have to give up anything to get him if they're willing to pay the whole salary. But because there seems to be competition, I do think that there's going to be talent going, and the Padres would be paying down a large portion of Upton's salary. What does Upton give you? He gives you a very good defensive outfielder. He gives you a ton of speed on the bases, and he gives you a guy that really has been a disappointment as an offensive player since he started in his major league career. He is hitting lefties very well this year in a ballpark in which it's very difficult to hit. As a fourth outfielder and a platoon mate for Michael Saunders, even though Saunders doesn't need a platoon mate, maybe it's as a platoon mate for Justin Smoak. And Saunders would DH against lefties, and Upton would go out and play left field. It gives you an opportunity to give Saunders a breather sometimes, to give Bautista a breather sometimes as well. I think, as long as you're not giving up too much and as long as you don't have to pay too much in salary, it also gives you an outfielder who's under contract for next year. The Blue Jays only currently have one of those. So I think there are a lot of reasons to think that's not a bad ad. It's certainly not a guy to put you over the top or anything like that, and not someone who's going to come in and play every day probably, but it's a nice piece.
You plan on giving up for it? Probably a mid double A prospect?
No idea. No clue.
No. Yeah, I know it's a
yeah.
Anyways, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it. Enjoy your night.
All right. Thank you. I certainly wouldn't give up one of the top prospects for Melvin Upton Jr., who you may remember as BJ Upton. He changed his name a couple of years ago. He's a good baseball player. He signed a big contract. He has not lived up to it. But again, he's a nice piece. Not a guy, hey, play him every day, put him in the middle of the order, you're going to give up your best prospect for, but a nice piece. Got time for one more before we have to let the network go. Kyle in Toronto. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to drag the conversation right back to Aaron Sanchez, if that's okay.
Just say something different.
Okay. Well, I have an idea.
Okay, let's have it.
And it's probably a stupid idea, but, the talk is we want to lower the innings.
Yep. Well, we want to keep the innings low.
The Blue Jays, what if we did what we did with Mark Burley last year? You have him skip a couple starts, you bring up Hutchinson. Is that at all?
Mark Burley pitched 198 in the third innings last year.
Yeah, but I mean, I know at the end when he was getting a little tired, they skipped a couple of his starts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, skipping a couple of his starts is not going to do anything. Like, we haven't even reached the we'll reach the two-thirds mark of the season on Friday, because Jays don't play on Thursday. So on Friday, we'll reach the two-thirds mark of the season, and Aaron Sanchez has already pitched 132 innings. So he's on pace without skippage to pitch 200 innings during the regular season. You skip him three times, great. He's on pace to pitch 180 innings over the course of the season, and then there's playoffs. You're going to have to skip him a lot, which would probably do him more harm than good to go from an every 5-day to an every 10-day thing. I can't imagine that would help.
Yeah. No, I see your point. It's just, you said it well. He's just been absolutely phenomenal, and it just, you want that in September.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. You want it, of course. Everyone should want Aaron Sanchez to stay in the rotation because he's certainly earned it. But and he's in the Cy Young conversation.
Yeah.
But we've seen enough over the last bunch of years. You know, these young guys who throw 95 to 97 out of nowhere, their elbows explode and they miss a year or two. And you just don't want that to happen.
The final thing I'd bring up with
you got like 2 seconds. I got to go.
Okay. But bullpen guys, if you put them in the bullpen, is there that same risk?
Well, yeah, there's the risk, the same risk, but the innings will be way, way down. Like, it will be 60 innings out of the rotation, 60 or 70 innings out of the rotation, 25 or 30 out of the bullpen. So that's the way you minimize the innings, and it's something that he's been able to do very successful 2 years in a row. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Got to go. We've got to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. We will come back, and we will continue to take your calls on Blue Jays Talk right up until 11 p.m. Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet.ca/590. Blue Jays beat the Padres 4-2. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Centre as far as the network is concerned. The Blue Jays 4-2 winners of the San Diego Padres. Aaron Sanchez goes 7 innings of 3-hit shutout. Kevin Pillar 3-for-4 with a couple of doubles. Scores a run, drives one in. Devin Travis 2-for-2 with a double and an RBI. Troy Tulowitzki hit 4 absolute rockets tonight and winds up 1-4-3 with a double. The Blue Jays 2.5 games out of first in the AL East. Make it 3. The Baltimore Orioles walked off the Colorado Rockies with a 3-2 win. Detroit leading the Red Sox 4-2 in the top of the ninth, so the Jays have still a chance to gain a game on Boston and be just half a game behind the Red Sox. We're back tomorrow, 7 Eastern. Marcus Stroman against Andrew Cashner, unless the Padres trade him before game time. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. Subscribe to the podcast, Blue Jays Talk, on iTunes. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues. Now he'll look a little harder. Devin Travis coming in to close. He doesn't look at him at all. Throws a 2-2 curveball. It's grounded to short. And they've got Jankowski hung up. Tulo chases him towards third. Donaldson runs after him. Dives and tags him on the foot. Kelly Gruber style to get the out. Talk about a flashback to the 1992 World Series. If you see the replay of that play and you don't immediately see Kelly Gruber diving at the foot of Deion Sanders, go back and watch that World Series. A carbon copy right there, except that this time Bob Davidson was not in the house and the Blue Jays got the call. A great job by Josh Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki sniffing it out there in the top of the sixth inning. The Blue Jays at the time led 3-0. They went on to a 4-2 win over the San Diego Padres. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and we're taking your calls to the top of the hour at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Baltimore Orioles walked off the Colorado Rockies, a 3-2 win in the 10th. Manny Machado reaching on a fielding error by the pitcher, scoring Adam Jones, who drove in the first 2 runs for the Orioles in that game. The Boston Red Sox currently are trailing the Detroit Tigers 4-2 in the bottom of the ninth with one out and nobody on. Francisco Rodriguez is on to try to close it out for the Detroits. If he can, that would mean that the Blue Jays would only be a half game behind the Red Sox, who hold the top wild card in the American League. The Blue Jays hold the second wild card in the American League. They are currently half a game ahead. Currently a game ahead of the Houston Astros. And the Astros are trailing the New York Yankees 2-1 as they play in the top of the ninth inning. Let's get back to the phones. 4-2 Jays over the Padres behind an incredible Aaron Sanchez. Keith is in Burlington. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Good evening.
I just ran that whole Kelly Gruber play through my head. Wasn't his chin the first thing that hit the ground?
No, that was a different play. That was when Gruber slid into the plate and hit his chin in the ground.
Ah, okay. All right. So, about Sanchez, I realize, you know, what the Jays are doing here. You know, the more he goes past his max innings, obviously the greater the chances of him getting hurt. And, you know, you never know. It could be career-ending, could be serious. I'm wondering how much say does Aaron Sanchez have in this whole deal?
None. Nor should he.
Nor should he. And I'm not trying to get silly with my next scenario here, but how much different would Kevin Pillar be in this? Because you could say the same thing about Pillar.
What?
That guy's not going to be able to continue playing at the rate he plays for much longer. I mean, sooner or later, he's going to get injured. I mean, the stuff he does defies gravity. Would the Jays ever go to him and say, hey, listen, we need you to dial it back a little bit. We want to preserve your career. Would an outfielder ever get treated like that or no?
No. And it's not the same thing at all. I mean, I get what you're saying. He does run into walls and he throws his body around and all that stuff. And look at Kevin Kiermaier, same thing. And Kevin Kiermaier got hurt and he's missed like half the season for the Tampa Bay Rays. But the difference between one thing and the other is that, you know, when you snap an elbow ligament and you're out for a year and a half, it's not the same as a dive and busting your shoulder. You know, it seems like it's two completely different things. You're the first person who's ever tried to tie it together. I don't think it's stupid because I see the sort of the correlation that you're trying to draw. But for me, an elbow ligament going is an elbow ligament going. A guy getting hurt because he runs into a wall or because he makes a diving catch is a completely different thing. And you can't tell guys to back off and slow down because that's, honestly, they'll tell you that's more often when you get hurt, when you're trying to be careful.
Right.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's going to, it just, you know, I mean, we all get to enjoy the way Pillar plays and, you know, the guy's just phenomenal. And the turf, you know, I factor that into it and I just worry about, you know, every time that guy, see that guy tracking a ball down, I'm wondering, is this going to be it?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have nearly the cause for concern about that as you would for sort of a pitcher's arm, given the history of what's gone on in the game for the last however many years since we've been watching it. But I get your concern. But that's the way Kevin Pillar plays the game. And so far, it's worked quite well for him.
Sure has. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks, Keith. You too. Let's go even farther west. Sean's in Hamilton. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mike. I'm glad to be talking to you again.
Thank you for calling.
I have a question for you, Mike. I couldn't find the numbers, but I was wondering about Devin Travis's exit velocity on his balls hit the outfield.
No idea.
It just seems like he hits everything hard. Everything. And I read your column over the weekend, and I have to say, it's hard not to disagree with what you said, Mike. And I could see him winning a batting title or two.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I think the guy's a phenomenal hitter. I don't have his hard hit rate. I could try to find it. I will try to find it for you. He's an excellent hitter, and I do see a batting title in his future.
Definitely. I happen to agree. And the next question I have for you, Mike, did you happen to read Ken Rosenthal's piece on the weekend about Chris Sale and the problems the White Sox are having?
I didn't read Rosenthal's piece. I mean, I'm well aware of what's going on, but what would you like to discuss as far as that goes?
Well, it's something small, and I doubt it would ever affect the Jays clubhouse, but there was a problem with the Mariners' policy, I guess, on collecting dues.
Clubhouse dues, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any information on how exactly I'm not asking you for every ball club, obviously, Mike, but do you have maybe an insight on maybe what the Jays' policy, they have a similar policy to the Mariners and the Giants? Or
I honestly have no idea, but since the Mariners and Giants were the only ones mentioned, I don't think they do. And what you're talking about, for the people who haven't, before I get to that, I'll just tell you, Devin Travis' hard hit contact rate is 25.4% this year. Medium contact rate is 55%. draw from that what conclusions you will. I don't know. I'd love to see if I can find the league leaders in hard hit ball rate. I'm going to try to find that for you. But as far as the clubhouse dues go, the Seattle Mariners, usually what happens is a team comes to town and a team tips the guys in the clubhouse, the guys who clean their shoes and do their laundry and find them places to eat and bring them food and whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that they do. And so they're given tips at the end of every series. And they usually go right to the clubhouse manager or to the guys in the clubhouse, the clubhouse attendants. There are a few of them. The Seattle Mariners put in a policy that all that money gets pooled and like 60% of it goes to the clubhouse attendants and 40% of it goes to the club or something, which is insane. I don't know what the Giants' policy is. I assume that the Blue Jays' policy is you tip the guys, they get the money, and that's the end of that.
I gotcha. Okay, Mike.
All right. I'll also tell you that David Ortiz is your current major league leader in hard hit ball rate at 45%. And Devin Travis's, as we said, was in the mid-20s.
Well, what a shock. Big Poppy's at the top of the list, eh?
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mike, and go Jays go.
Thanks for the call, Sean. Appreciate it. Blue Jays win it 4-2. The Jays are now a half game back of the Boston Red Sox for the first wild card spot in the American League. Boston lost 4-2 to the Detroit Tigers. They remain three games behind the Baltimore Orioles for first place in the AL East. And they are now a game ahead of the Houston Astros, a game and a half ahead of the Houston Astros for the second wild card spot, because the Astros just lost 2-1 to the New York Yankees. I think. It looks like it. So there we go. There's your current playoff update here on July 25th. Former Sportsnetter Dave Berlin, who used to work with us a long time ago, tweeted me today after the game to say that Mark McGwire's 500-level home run here at Rogers Center, and he only hit one, happened 20 years ago today. And Mark McGwire is the hitting coach for the San Diego Padres, and Alex Dickerson put one in the 500-level in the ninth inning today. Very cool coincidence. Back to the phones. We're going off to the Florida Keys. I don't think we've ever had a call from the Florida Keys. David, welcome.
Hey, Mike.
Which key are you in, on, at?
Isla Mirada, if you know it.
I have heard tell of it. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
I am. Actually, good. I am on my way back home, actually. I've been down here for 20 years, but I still bleed blue.
Nice.
And it's just south of Key Largo, you know, Isla Mirada. It's awesome. And I have to give a shout-out to my buddy James and my wife and kids who are listening probably right now.
I like that the buddy gets the shout-out before the wife and kids. Well done.
Well, you know, me and James, we sit here, we listen to you all the time whenever he's here. So we always say we're going to call, and I've tried to call a couple times, but this is the first time I've actually gotten through.
Cool. Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, and coming home for the game tomorrow night. None of us are going.
Nice.
Yes, so maybe I'll call again tomorrow night. We'll see. but what I'm actually wondering about, well, first of all, everyone's got to settle down about Sanchez. He's got to go to the bullpen, but it's going to make the bullpen super strong. I'm wondering about Osuna. Do you think his plan with the Jays, anyways, is to remain the closer?
Yep.
I know last year you had mentioned bringing him into the starting rotation, but he's done so well. Do you think he's going to stay there?
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going back to the rotation, Osuna. I think he's very happy being a closer. And, you know, the farther along you go with him in the bullpen, the harder it becomes to stretch him out. He's already had Tommy John surgery, so the concerns aren't as great as far as that's concerned. But, you know, he's never thrown more than 80 innings in a season. So it's going to take a few years, and you would have to Sanchez him a couple of times, which would infuriate the masses as well. And he loves it back there, and he's awesome at it. So I'm totally fine with him staying a closer.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering about that. And the other thing I have to, if I get another question real quick, and if James is listening, we talk about this guy all the time, Charlie Blackmon. Why are we going after Melvin Upton Jr.? I've heard whispers of Blackmon being available.
I would be very surprised if Blackmon was available.
I don't know
why he would be available. He's not a free agent until after the 2018 season. Why would Colorado want to move him?
Well, I think because his arbitration is going to start getting high.
And yeah, but they don't seem to care that much about that.
Right. But, I think, like I said, we talked about him, you know, it would be awesome to have him. But I just heard, I don't know who it was somebody, you know, either ESPN or MLB mentioned that the Nationals are going after Charlie Blackmon.
Well, if the Nationals are going after Charlie Blackmon, the Blue Jays should be going after Charlie Blackmon as well.
I would hope
that if he's available that they're aware and they're talking about it. Now, Carlos Gonzalez, there's a guy who is more than likely available and who is under contract for next year only and then not beyond next year at $20
yep.
million. Dollars. I don't know that that's somebody the Blue Jays are looking at, but I'm pretty sure that that's an outfielder that the Rockies wouldn't mind moving.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because I think the Jays are going to be completely outpriced on Edwin. Everyone's got to accept that. Someone out there, probably the Red Sox, if not someone else, will give him a boatload of money. But I really do think they can sign Jose. I don't think he's going to get near the offers just because of his age. We could bring Jose down to first base, and you can still platoon in the outfield. But if they could get a guy like Blackmon, I think this team is set for 3 years. You can give up prospects if you can get a guy like that.
Yes, you can. You're absolutely right. I'm surprised to hear that people are suggesting that he's on the market. But, yeah, that's a really good target. Thank you, and enjoy your trip home. And enjoy the ball game tomorrow night. Marcus Stroman against probably Andrew Cashner. But if the Padres trade him before the game, it will be Paul Clemens. No relation. Blue Jays beat San Diego 4-2 tonight behind another incredible outing from Aaron Sanchez. John is in Perry Sound. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Good. Mike, have you heard about the study out of the University of Waterloo, which has been published in the Journal of Sports Medicine Physical Fitness?
Yeah, somebody just tweeted it at me.
Found that neither limiting the number of innings nor gradually increasing the total number of innings pitched per season has an effect on young Major League Baseball pitchers' risk of future injury.
Somebody just tweeted it to me, so I haven't read it.
But I would like to. The thing is, investing in biomechanical assessments and revamping strength training program is the best way to keep Major League Baseball pitchers off the disabled list. Leading baseball mechanics expert, blah, blah, says that rather than limiting the number of innings pitched, teams should instead focus on the pitcher's ability for tissue adaptation by developing strength and conditioning programs that build soft tissue capacity during the off season and promote recovery during the season. Interesting perspective, and I kind of got a sense from John Gibbons when he was asked about Aaron coming out of the rotation. He sounded a little bit more hedged. I don't know whether you sense that as well.
No, I sensed that he just sounded tired. He just
didn't get that sense.
No, sounded really tired of answering the question. But you can't blame him for being asked.
The comment was maybe like a week or two ago.
A week or two ago, he said, whenever the decision comes down, he knows that he's going to be the one who takes the heat for it. And he said it with a smile on his face. I'm looking at this this article about the study now, obviously not at the study. It looked at injury rates based on the number of innings pitched and five different levels of yearly increases ranging from 10 to 50 innings. We're talking about Aaron Sanchez increasing by 70 to 90 innings, not 50 innings. So that's one thing. So that's not covered by the study. And it does say Simply limiting the number of innings is not the answer, which I agree with. And I've said this whole time that there's no hard limit on the number of innings. They have to look at how hard a pitcher's body is working during each inning and each pitch. We don't know what the Blue Jays high-performance people are doing. We don't know how they're assessing. We don't know what they're looking at and what they're looking for. But that study, again, only shows up to 50 innings. And we're looking at an increase that's dramatically larger than that for Aaron Sanchez, should he stay in the rotation this year.
Agreed, but hopefully he's in a little bit longer as a result of that study then.
Well, they're looking, I mean, they've got, they haven't told us what they're doing, right?
They haven't.
I can't hear you when you talk the same time as I do.
I'm sorry. I just said they would love to have him in as long as they can.
Yes, they absolutely would.
Obviously.
1,000%. But and they haven't told us what how they're making their assessment. They haven't said anything. So the idea that there is a hard innings limit, I mean, there just isn't. But there's a difference between saying, look, there's no hard innings limit, and, hey, he's going to throw 90 more innings this year than he threw last year, than he's ever thrown in his life. It just, if you think about it, take your fan glasses off, and say, is this something we really want to put somebody through? The answer is no. Bruce is in Mississauga. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. One quick question and a comment. Quick question is, how many times do you roll your eyes when somebody mentions Sanchez tonight?
Look, this is what people want to talk about. It's probably the biggest story in Major League Baseball right now.
I can understand, but I also agree with you on what you're saying. You know, why risk his arm? And why risk like a year and a half to 2 years, you know, trying to rehab him back? And, you know, like, let management deal with the team. And for the fans, as you always said, enjoy the season.
Yeah, that would be nice, but that's not what fans do anymore.
Oh, I know, but I've been enjoying the season from game one. And you look at it at this point last year, they're even .500. This year, they're 12 games over.
Yep.
Sit back and, as you put it, enjoy the season. You know, have fun with it.
That would be nice.
That would be nice,
but you know what? I think they're leading the league in attendance. There were 41,000 people here tonight on a Monday night against the San Diego Padres. There's a large core of fans out there who are, in fact, enjoying this season. And people who call in radio shows generally don't call in to say they're happy.
Yeah, they're the armchair managers and GMs.
Generally, yes. But hey, that's all right. I wouldn't have a job otherwise.
Oh, that's true, too.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. See if we can squeeze in a couple more before we go. 4-2 Blue Jays over the Padres. Randy in Moncton. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Mike. How are things in DO?
All right. How's the Maritimes?
Maritimes are good and hot and muggy. And a little uncomfortable, kind of like everywhere else in the middle of July,
yep.
Or end of July. I have no complaints. The Blue Jays are 12 over. Like, they played great. And the one thing I am happy about, for one, I don't know if they've made the decision on Sanchez. The way John Gibbons talked tonight, they had not. But I'm glad they didn't handle Sanchez's case like the Mets handled Matt Harvey or the Nationals handled Steven Strasburg. I don't think there should be games played. If he can be a starter as long as they think he's effective. And when they think he's ready to go to the bullpen, they'll put him in the bullpen. I don't have a problem with that at all. I have one question for you. How come they haven't done a better job at this whole video replay thing? Because to me, this seems really odd. You have managers out challenging, waiting for time. Like, to me, this should be pretty simple. You have an office in New York, can communicate with an umpire thing on field. They go back and forth with the replay, view it, and then make a decision. I mean, this shouldn't be taking long, and it's taken way too long in my view, but I'm wondering your take on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It takes way too long. I think it's very important to get as many calls right as you possibly can, so I am very much in favor of replay review, but there's no question that it takes too long. And I've always thought that it shouldn't be up to the managers. Getting a call right shouldn't be a strategic thing where you have to decide whether or not you want to challenge a call. I think that there should be an official in the press box at every game that when there is a play that's close, he hits a little buzzer and says, hold on, I'm going to take another look at this. And then when he takes another look, or she takes another look at it, then decides, all right, you know what? We're going to review, or we're not going to review. And then you stop, and if you can make a decision within 2 minutes, then you make a decision. If you can't make a decision within 2 minutes, then it goes back to the call on the field. That's what I would do for replay.
So the guy in the press box would be communicating with the New York umpires and then relaying the message?
No, the guy in the press box would do it himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No New York umpires at all then. The guy in the press box would communicate with the field, and that would be the replay in and out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm for you. I think that's a great idea, and I think they really need in the offseason to review this. This is taking way too long, and that's one of the reasons the games – that's the biggest reason that the games have lasted too long, not pitching changes, not other stuff. The reason it's lasted too long is because of the replays, in my opinion.
I'm with you. It's not about intentional walks or pitching changes or anything like that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the call. Appreciate all the calls. Blue Jays beat the Padres 4-2, their first game with Jose Bautista in the lineup since June 16th. Jose went 1-for-3 with a single and a walk, grounded into a double play, and popped up. Let's hear a little bit of what Bautista had to say after today's 4-2 win.
Was it, did it feel like you never left, or did you definitely feel like you were gone for almost 6 weeks out there?
No, once the game starts, it's like riding a bike. But, you know, still adjustments to be made on my part. Still the strikes, and, you know, can't complain about swinging at too many bad pitches today, but I did swing at a couple, especially in the inner half. You just got to maintain that discipline. At times you get into good hitter scouts and you're coming back and, you know, you get a little excited. So that's natural, I think.
You made the nice running catch, and you also made the nice, you know, first to third and then the slide. Was that more encouraging for you, that the toe and the foot feels was looking good anyways?
Yeah, there's definitely some plays today that I haven't had to make on the rehab assignment. So it's encouraging to see that my body responded well.
Jose, what do you think about what you're seeing from Aaron Sanchez this year?
It's unbelievable. He's really stepped up to the mound and done his job. I mean, what bad thing can you say about what he's done? He's dominated so far, and I mean, I don't want to praise him too much and jinx it. I just hope that he can continue to do that and he continues to get those opportunities.
I know you don't have to face him, Jose, but as a hitter, what do you observe that works so well for him?
His fastball's explosive. He's a tall guy. He uses that leverage, and it's got a lot of life to his fastball and then a lot of movement, like a two-seamer or sinker. And then he's got a devastating curveball. He doesn't really need to use many other pitches. He can. As a starter, when you dominate with two pitches, you know you're doing something right. So his locations and his execution of pitches when he needs to get a batter to induce a ground ball or to get a short fly ball, he seems to get it done and bear down in those situations, and that's why he's been successful.
Jose, this is the first game this year that you guys have had the full, healthy lineup going for you guys. I mean, you look, you contribute with the hit, Tulo did, you look down, there's Pilar, there's Travis. I mean, what does it mean to have this whole team now able to play?
It's fun. Hopefully we all get to stay together for the rest of the season and have a lot of fun playing the rest of the games.
You're such a competitor and obviously put a lot of pressure on yourself. Do you have to temper your own expectations for the next week or 10 days just to get yourself back to maybe full swing of things in terms of timing and all that?
I don't think I put pressure on myself. I do demand a lot of myself because I know what I can contribute and what I can provide. So when I don't, it doesn't. I'm not happy about it. And I don't think anybody should have a problem with that. But I'm not going to try to do anything that I can't do. And I'm here to contribute and figure out how to help us get wins. I'm not focused on anything individual, personal. He's going to try to continue to help us win games.
How much do you think the rehab stint in Buffalo helped you both offensively and defensively prepare for tonight?
Just test on the body more than anything. It's just making sure that my body was responding. I mean, when you don't play for 5 weeks, it's almost technically like spring training. I just had a short version of it. And some reps at the plate, just seeing pitches and making sure that my eyes are telling me where the ball is and stuff like that. So it definitely helps.
So there's Jose Bautista again, 1-for-3 with a walk today in his return. The Blue Jays beat the San Diego Padres 4-2 for their fifth win in 7 games. and they're a half game back of the Boston Red Sox, game and a half up on the Houston Astros. I told you the Astros lost before they actually lost, but they lost, so you heard it here first. There you go. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Marcus Stroman against probably Andrew Cashner. We'll see you then.